The following program is a repeat of an earlier broadcast.
Hi, I'm Hal Abrams, co-host of Animal Radio, and today's show originally aired 11 years ago on Christmas 2010. We all hope you love this holiday special, and best wishes from all of us here at Animal Radio.
Celebrating our connection with our pets, this is Animal Radio. Here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
Christmas. We're all here. It's toll-free. We're opening our gifts right now as we do the show, and we actually have great stories coming up today, some warm, heartwarming Christmas stories as we do every year. And Lori, what are you working on in the newsroom over there?
Did you buy a gift for your pet for Christmas and
well,
people think you're weird?
They're the only ones that got gifts this year.
Well, you're not weird and you're not alone. I have a story about that. Plus, what kind of gift do you get for a guy who marries his dog? I have a story about a guy in a straight jacket. Judy, is there?
Yeah.
A year's worth of therapy, I'm thinking. And I've got a great story about a guy who actually married his dog.
That sounds a little strange. I'm going to stick around just for that.
As I sat enjoying a cup of tea one morning before work, my children brought a catalog to show me what they had found. They pointed at a picture of a t-shirt. They said it reminded them of me. Flattered they were thinking of me, I looked at the picture. Then I frowned. On the front of the shirt, in large bold print, were the words, "I yell because I care." "But I don't yell at you," I said softly. This brought laughter and rolling eyes from my precious offspring. "Oh yeah, Mom, you sure do," said my oldest daughter. The second child chimed in with, "All the time." The youngest put his hands over his ears in mock fright and spun around in a circle until he collapsed on the floor, giggling and dizzy. "No, no," I protested quietly. "How could they possibly think I yelled at them? I was a good mother. I listened and helped when I could. I was always there for them, lending support and love. But a mom that yelled?" "We can prove it," said the oldest. "Every time you raise your voice, Bo Peep goes nuts." I eyed my little blue and white parakeet with suspicion. Bo Peep sat calmly on her perch, watching us. She was waiting for someone to notice her and perhaps come over for a talk and a little playtime. She thrived on the attention that four children could give. "Okay, I'll prove it," I challenged them. "Let me think of something to say loudly, and then we'll see." I'd like to say that it took me some time to come up with an appropriate phrase to yell, but in all honesty, one just popped right into my mind. I cleared my throat daintily, and then sang out, "You kids hurry up, or you'll be late for school!" Before I finished speaking, Bo Peep was flapping around inside her cage, hopping from perch to perch, screeching, "Tee! She certainly gave us her 2 cents worth. We all received a thorough scolding from the tiniest member of our household. It was a very humble mother who apologized then. The kids were right. I was wrong. I now realize the truth. I was a mom who yelled, after all. A few minutes later, the children were still laughing as they made their way out the door and on to school. I took another sip of hot tea, then turned and shook a finger at my feathered friend. "Miss Peep," I began, only to be interrupted. Bo Peep puffed out her cheek feathers and said earnestly, "You are so pretty, pretty, pretty." Beep, beep. Well, I could hardly argue with such an honest friend, could I? It had to be true. After all, a little bird told me so.
That's Keanu Reeves and yourself a Merry, Merry Christmas.
We're giving you all our best animal stories. And this next one comes to you from ASPCA President Ed Sayers.
I did receive a new supplement to the Book of Genesis regarding the dog and the cat. Yes, a newly discovered chapter in the Book of Genesis has provided the answer to the question, where do pets come from? Adam and Eve said, "Lord, when we were in the garden, you walked with us every day. Now we do not see you anymore. We are lonesome here, and it is difficult for us to remember how much you love us." And God said, "That is no problem. I will create for you a companion that will be with you forever, and that will be a reflection of my love for you, so that you will love me even when you cannot see me. Regardless of how selfish or childish or unlovable you may be, this new companion will accept you as you are and will love you as I do, in spite of yourselves." And God created a new animal to be the companion for Adam and Eve. And it was a good animal, and God was pleased. And the new animal was pleased to be with Adam and Eve, and he wagged his tail. And Adam said, "Lord, I have already named all the animals in the kingdom. I cannot think of a name for this new animal." And God said, "That is no problem, because I have created this new animal to be a reflection of my love for you. And his name will be a reflection of my own name. And you will call him Dog." And Dog lived with Adam and Eve and was a companion to them and loved them. And they were comforted. And God was pleased. And Dog was content and wagged his tail. After a while, it came to pass that an angel came to the Lord and said, "Lord, Adam and Eve have become filled with pride. They strut and preen like peacocks. And they believe they are worthy of adoration. Dog has indeed taught them that they are loved, but perhaps taught them too well." And God said, "That is no problem. I will create for them a companion who will be with them forever and who will see them as they are. The companion will remind them of their limitations so they will know that they are not always worthy of adoration." And God created Cat. God created Cat to be a companion to Adam and Eve. And Cat would not obey them. And when Adam and Eve gazed into Cat's eyes, they were reminded that they were not the supreme beings. And Adam and Eve learned humility. And they were greatly improved. And God was pleased. And Dog was happy. And Cat didn't give a shit one way or another.
This is Jerry Seinfeld saying happy holiday, happy new year, happy you, and see you next year.
The extraordinary thing about any cat is the effect it has on its owner. Owning a cat, especially from kittenhood, is a lot like having a child. You feed him, you do your best to educate him, talk to him as if he understands you, and in exchange, you want him to love you. He can drive you mad with his independence. He can, just as surely as a child, create a tremendous desire to protect him from anything bad. He is small, vulnerable, wonderful to hold, when he lets you, and he throws up on just about the same regular schedule. Like children, cats exist on a separate and probably higher plane than we do. And like children, they must be at least partially defined by their relationship with their parents. And though they can do all sorts of amazing things, such as hiding in the tiniest room imaginable and refusing to be found, no matter how late you are for wherever it is you have to take them, they cannot write their autobiographies. My involvement with a cat was strictly accidental. In fact, I had to be dragged into it, kicking and screaming. I, of course, have a cat now, Norton. I treat this cat as very few animals, or people for that matter, have ever been treated. If he is asleep in the middle of the bed when it's time for my day to end, I sleep curled up in a corner of the mattress, happily braving stiff necks and bad backs, so he remains undisturbed. I worry about him. I talk about him, and to him, I have to add, to the point of idiocy. And if he doesn't sleep within a crooked arm's reach of my pillow, which he doesn't about one day a week, then I don't sleep very well. I actually worry that I've done something to offend him. I sometimes let him eat off my spoon, usually ice cream or yogurt. Chocolate's his favorite flavor, and it's a pretty funny thing to watch when he decides it's time to lick that sucker clean. It is hardly a one-way street, however. He does all sorts of things for me that are pretty wonderful for a cat. He goes for walks with me. No leash. His record in traffic is 3 blocks, which he does most Sunday mornings when I stroll to Sean's Murray Hill Market in Sag Harbor. Norton will wait for me anywhere, no matter where I leave him. If I'm at a hotel, I can dump him outside by the pool, or in the garden and let him play there all day or night. When I go to get him, he will be nowhere in sight. But when I call or whistle for him, he'll meow exactly once, then leap out of his hiding place to rush to join me. I honestly believe I could drop him in the heart of an African jungle, leave him for a year, reappear, and as long as I could find the bush he was last seen scurrying under, he'd be there, waiting for me. If I, as I sometimes forgetfully do, close the door to a room, leaving Norton on the other side, he will howl and meow as if possessed until I open the door. He does not like to be left outside of anything I am inside. He trusts me. He is quite a comfort when I'm sad and makes being happy much more fun. He has seen me through broken hearts and illness and death. When a small gray animal does a little thing like that for you, how can you not let him sleep in the middle of the bed when he's tired?
Sorry, Joey, that you got coal in your stocking this year. Aww. And that was not me that gave it to you. I'll tell you that right now.
You know what? I'd rather get coal, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because I know that whatever my wife is going to spend on Christmas gifts, it's only going to come out of my bank account. So coal is about the
not
cheapest.
Not expensive.
Is about the cheapest thing out there. So when I get coal, it's actually a good thing. I'm a happy boy when I get coal for Christmas.
It depends on what Aww. She got for everybody else with her credit card. That's the big problem there. That's
well,
what happens
listen. That's you know, forget about it. That's going to be anyway, so I take that on the chin.
This is Animal Radio.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing and always need to stick your fingers to test your blood sugar. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. Apply a discreet sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger sticks. If you are living with type 1 or type 2 diabetes, and you administer insulin 3 or more times per day, or use an insulin pump, you might be eligible for a CGM through your insurance benefits. U.S. Med partners with over 500 private insurance companies and Medicare. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill your insurance. Call us today for a free benefits check.
800-785-1673. 800-785-1673. 800-785-1673. That's 800-785-1673.
The following program is a repeat of an earlier broadcast.
I took last week off. I flew to Denver to visit family. And more you're seeing animals on the airplane. There was 2 dogs
really?
And 1 cat. And that's definitely the most I'd ever seen. And they were very good. I heard 1 bark. But there was 1 problem that I just want to kind of give people heads up. I thought these FAA-regulated carriers would mean that they'd allow me to carry a pet on. Apparently, this one person that brought their dog on, it didn't fit within the carry-on size. Uh-huh. So just because it says FAA approved doesn't mean you can bring it on board.
On
and they actually
planes.
Had to check their pet, which
oh.
is down below.
I hate
oh.
that. Well, and you know all about the recent story of the little terrier that got a little rambunctious. His sedatives wore off in the airplane, so they took him out to try to calm him, and he proceeded to bite 2 different individuals and run amok on the airplane and cause the airplane to have to take an emergency landing.
Ooh. Oh, no.
So I have a huge problem with this because I'm all about well-behaved pets, but more importantly, for me, this is all about picking the right pet to travel, because I don't think every pet should get on an airplane, nor is it the right thing to do for the people around you. You know, really, you have to select if your pet is a good traveler and is appropriate to get on an airplane. And I hate tranquilizing. I refuse to tranquilize pets when they travel by air because there's so many unknowns. So for me, this was a big tusk, tusk, tusk for those other pet lovers that do things right and recognize if their pet should not fly.
Well, how do you know? Because getting in a car and getting on a plane are 2 different things. Your animal might be great in a car, but how do you know how it's going to react in a plane?
You know, it's similar, though. So if your pet gets amped up in
in the car, especially if you can't put them securely in a pet carrier, then we're going to potentially have a problem. So you need to be able to comfortably restrain your pet in a pet carrier and have them be okay with that. If they are not okay, then I am not going to try to tranquilize the pet. I'm not going to try to torture that animal. It's just not going to be a vacation that that dog needs to go to.
What could go wrong if you sedate them?
Well, at high altitudes, you know, they're excited. We don't know exactly how the tranquilizers could affect the cardiovascular system. So if there's an underlying heart problem or a breathing problem, it could cause them to have a fatal episode. And especially these little dogs with the squished-in faces, they've already got problems in traveling because when they get excited, they have trouble panting. So the last thing we want to do is sedate these pets.
So the physiology is different when you're in the air, just like you get dehydrated when you fly.
Yeah, and in the cabin, I think a lot of people feel more comfortable because they can see their pet. But clearly in this situation, you know, that dog was still just jazzed up and anxious, and tranquilizers still did not do enough. So you know, I think it's really our pet parent responsibility to recognize, you know what, Fluffy's not going to dig this. You know, let's leave her behind, have a pet sitter take care of her, rather than holler and torture all those people and change their flight plans, which I'm sure they were not thrilled about.
Now, what about their ears? The airplane, it affects my ears, but is the dog's ears a different makeup where it doesn't feel that pressure, or do they feel it just like we do?
You know, we would suspect that they feel it the same way we do. It's one reason I will not fly a pet if they have an ear infection, because I flew once with an ear infection, especially in an unpressurized cabin, and it was horrible. I thought I was dying. So, we want pets to be in good health, to be in sound physical condition and mental condition for travel, and we want them to be really hip and comfortable with the idea of being confined in a carrier and not be in mommy's lap, because that can't always happen on an airplane, and usually you get in trouble for that.
Good advice. Dr. Debbie's answering your questions along with groomer Joey Villani, Vladi the world-famous Russian dog wizard and animal communicator Joy Turner. Now, I'm supposed to tell you, oh, good. Hey, listen, if you miss any part of today's show, head on over to animalradio.com. We have podcasts of every show. I thought we burned the tapes after the show. I thought we had to do that so no one would. But apparently they make them into these podcast thingies, and you can listen to every show way back over at animalradio.com.
I'm waiting. I'm waiting. Hello in there.
Oh. Oh, no.
I can't believe it. He blew it again.
I know. I'll go talk to him.
How hard is it for a horse to neigh? That's what horses do. Isn't that what we hired him for?
He's just a little nervous. I mean, he's been chomping at the bit all day, and he's coming unglued.
Well, he's going to become glue if he doesn't neigh in the right place this time. I just need one neigh at the end of this song. No sneezes or wheezes or other horse noises.
Oh, I don't know.
What part of neigh doesn't he understand? I just can't work this way.
Well, he was fine in rehearsal. I know he can do it. Just give him one more chance.
Okay, but no more horsing around in there.
Hello, Nellie?
Oh, this horse.
That was really good, but we're going to try it one more time. You're doing just great.
Completely horrible.
Remember, it's one neigh at the end of the song.
No, just, Mr. Ed.
Just relax.
No, Mr.
And
Ed.
Just neigh at the very end of the song.
He's out all right? Night sowing his wild oats.
Are you ready?
Oh, I hate this horse.
Places, people.
All right.
Places.
Neigh ride. Take 44.
Okay, cue the clops. 5, 6. 5, 6, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Just hear those sleigh bells tingling, ring,
ting,
tingling,
tingling. He's doing it again. He's grunting.
He's going to be fine. I just know him.
Outside the snow is falling and friends are calling you.
He just made over the best part. And he just blew it.
Let's go. Let's look at the show.
Nellie?
His little artistic liberties are really wearing thin. What was that?
I don't know. He got a little confused.
Grunting and sneezing and moaning. I'm so sick of this.
He's just a little nervous. Give him a chance. He hasn't spent a lot of time in the studio.
He's going to be put out of the pasture as far as I'm concerned. He's not going to get it.
He's going to get it.
He won't get it.
Yet.
He blew it.
fabulous. I knew he would get it. I knew all the time. Oh, super, super stupendous job, Nellie.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-485-4409. 800-485-4409. 800-485-4409. That's 800-485-4409.
You're listening to Animal Radio, and today's show originally aired 11 years ago on Christmas 2010. We all hope you love this holiday special, and best wishes from all of us here at Animal Radio.
Animal communicator Joy Turner joining us, as well as Vladi, the world-famous Russian dog wizard, groomer Joey Volani, and Dr. Debbie answering your vet questions on this Christmas day. We have some warm Christmas stories coming up, as we do this every year.
I love those stories. Warm fuzzies.
I figure, you know, if we're live on Christmas, we might as well have some fun, right?
Yeah.
So we're sitting here, we're drinking a little bit of coffee with eggnog as creamer. That's what I'm doing this morning.
Yes, that's the way to go, baby.
What a great idea.
And if you have to work today, we'd love to hear from you, too. If you're at home, I'm unwrapping those presents. This is the day Dr. Debbie has to leave early, usually, because she has to rush to the hospital.
Yes.
Animals will get in the gift wrapping and stuff. But most importantly, if they get that tinsel, it can wrap around their
inner intestines. That's what happened to my Black Labrador.
That happened to you?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. And it was really scary. She wasn't feeling well. And then now, and then recently, while we were putting up our tree, Bogey, our big 22-pound black cat, he wasn't feeling well, and I have a feeling he may have gotten into some of the decorations. So this does happen. So
what happened there? What ultimately happened? I mean, he's okay,
with
right?
Bogey, he seems fine. Yeah, he seems fine. I think it was just something he just got into. But with the tinsel, with my black lab, I got her to the vet because she wasn't feeling well for a day or so. And, you know, they had to do things to remove it.
Surgery.
It was expensive. And poor baby. I felt so horrible for
her. You know,
her.
I had to cover up the bowl underneath the tree that has the water because little ladybug was drinking out of it.
Is that bad for them?
Yeah. And she had a little upset stomach, so she could have made it.
I didn't know that was bad for them.
Yeah, so I covered it up so she can't get to the water.
So you got to watch out for that
stuff.
We don't
use tinsel anymore.
So yeah, I don't put anything. I know some people put stuff in the water to keep to preserve the tree, but I won't put anything in the water.
Yeah, same here. Don't do that. Yeah.
If you're a listener that doesn't put up a tree because of your animals, especially cats, we'd love to hear from you. It's kind of tricky this time of year. It really is. We all like to have fun and all the gifts and the ribbons that come off the tops of the gifts.
Uh-huh.
Fun for the cats to play with, but also can wrap around the intestines and cause troubles.
Right.
How much did that surgery cost you there?
Oh, it was back in the day, a long time ago, but it was like $400 or $500 then, and that was...
Wow.
Probably in the early 80s, I think. Yeah. So
you got off lucky.
Yeah. Yes, you did. Yeah, don't wait for it to pass. If you know they've eaten it, don't wait for that to pass. That's the worst thing you can do.
That's what I want to find out from Dr. Debbie. How long do you wait before you take an animal to the vet? So if you just think they're acting, is it an upset stomach or is it something serious? You don't know.
Lori, what are you working on in the newsroom over there?
Did you buy a gift for your pet for Christmas and people think you're weird? Well, you're not weird and you're not alone. I have a story about that. Plus, what kind of gift do you get for a guy who marries his dog?
I'm going to stick around just for that.
When my daughter Rachel was 6 years old, we went to the local shelter looking for the perfect cat. We liked a lot of the cats we saw there, but we were especially taken with a mother and her kittens. All the kittens were entirely jet black, except for one. She had a small white tip to her tail, like one bright light in the night sky. We brought her home and called her Star. Starry was a charmer. Rachel admired her proud manner and enjoyed even more the secret knowledge that it was all an act. Starry could only appear aloof for so long before leaping up into Rachel's arms to be cuddled and stroked. As time went by, Rachel and Starry adopted certain routines. At night when we watched TV, Starry crawled into Rachel's lap and stayed there, purring contentedly. Starry always rubbed her face along Rachel's chin, ending the love test with a gentle nip on Rachel's nose. Sometimes I couldn't help but feel the injustice of this. I was the one who took care of the cat, feeding, cleaning, grooming, yet Starry was clearly Rachel's cat. Eventually, I came to love watching their cozy bond. My little girl grew up, went to junior high, and finally high school. Starry was 10 and Rachel was 16. Starry and Rachel were still close, though Rachel spent less and less time at home. Starry spent most of her day sitting on the sideboard in the dining room, looking out of the window into the backyard. One Sunday morning, early in November, Starry got out the door before we could stop her. When Rachel's friend came over to study that evening, she came in the door with a worried expression. "Where's Starry?" she asked. When we told her we didn't know, she had us come outside with her. There was a black cat lying in the street. It was Star. The cat's body was warm, and she didn't appear to be injured. There was no blood or wounds that we could see. It was after hours, but our vet agreed to meet us after our distraught phone call. Rachel was upset, but holding it together. My husband, Bert, and I told her to stay at home while we took Star to the vet. Bert and I picked Starry up carefully and rushed her to the vet's office. The vet examined her briefly before looking up and saying, "I'm sorry, but she's gone." When we got home, Rachel could tell by our faces that Starry was dead. She turned without speaking and went up to her room. It had been a hard year for me. My father had died not long before, and I hadn't totally come to grips with the loss. Rachel and I were in the midst of the delicate dance mothers and teenage daughters everywhere find themselves performing, circling, pulling away, and coming together in odd fits and spurts. I took a chance and knocked on her door. When she said come in, I sat with her on the bed and we cried together. It was a good cry, clearing out some more of the grief I couldn't face about Father and bringing Rachel and I closer as we shared our sadness about Starry. Life went on. Thanksgiving came and went. Rachel and I both found ourselves mistaking black sweatshirts strewn on chairs or floors for our newly missing black cat. The sideboard looked desolate, empty of the warm presence glowing with life I'd come to expect there. Over and over, little pangs of loss stung our hearts as the weeks went by. I was out Christmas shopping when I saw it. It was a Christmas tree ornament in the shape of a cat angel, a black cat with white wings and a red ball between her paws. I had to get it, but bought it wondering if it would be a happy remembrance of the cat we'd loved or a chilling reminder of our loss. When I got home, I painted a white tip at the end of the angel cat's long black tail and hung the ornament on the tree. That evening when Rachel came in, she flopped onto the couch. She sat staring at the Christmas tree, spacing out after a long day at school and after school sports. I was in the kitchen when suddenly I heard her gasp. "Mom," she called. "Mom, come here." I walked in and found her standing in front of the tree, looking at the cat angel with shining eyes. "Oh, Mom, it's Starry. Where did you find an ornament with a tail like hers?" She looked about six again. I gathered her into my arms, and wonderfully, she didn't resist. We stood together, looking at the tree, feeling our love for Starry and for each other. Our charming, nose-nipping cat was gone, but now Starry, the Christmas angel, would be a part of our family tradition for years to come. Sometimes you can make your own miracles.
You're listening to Animal Radio. You can learn more about today's guest at animalradio.com.
Back again, Vinnie Penn, Party Animal. I left a lot of you hanging in the balance last time around. The first ever two-part Party Animal, and here it comes at you. Reflecting a bit on a few weeks back, got into a bit of a bickering match with someone. A buddy of mine has got the greatest dog in the world. His name is Spaz, and it fits. But as much as Spaz is a Spaz, he's just a great dog. After you're there 5 minutes and he has his three seizures and does four backflips and jumps into your groin area so repeatedly you're convinced you'll never be able to have another child, he totally chills out and hangs in your lap. And he is absolutely a member of this family, my buddy Steve's family. And yet, lo and behold, I'm over there for the holidays, and I see the stockings hung with care, because soon St. Nick would be there. No stocking for Spaz. I got into it. How could you not have a stocking? He's a member of the family. Now, make no mistake. Fans of the Party Animal segment know we have a little fish, Betty. And maybe I'm drawing a thin line here. We don't have a stocking for Betty. You don't get a stocking for the goldfish. I don't know. There are animals, there are pets you get stockings for. And there are pets you don't get stockings for. A dog, you get a stocking for. A cat, you get a stocking for. I don't know, from there it gets a little bit blurry. I could see maybe getting one for the bird in the house. I don't know, maybe the hamster. No, I don't see the fish. We had a turtle. We didn't have a stocking for the turtle. Maybe we'll take some emails on it, vinny@animalradio.com. But it got ugly over there. I mean, of course, the Jack Daniels didn't help. But he got a bit, my buddy Steve got a bit belligerent when I questioned where Spaz's stocking was. And the night did not end well, especially because it got his wife in on it. And it was one of those awkward kind of holiday moments where she had a little too much spiked eggnog. And she's like, I've been saying the same thing. He never listens to me. See, your friend agrees with me. And all of a sudden you're standing there like, well, all right, then. Merry Christmas. Party Animal, Vinny Penn.
Dogs or cats, horse or emu, animals are people too.
Children at a Swedish school were recently terrorized by a drunken elk. Yes, I said drunk. Officials said the elk might have gotten a little tipsy from eating fermented apples. The elk was thought to have been attracted to the apple trees near the school, and after sampling some, he started acting irrationally. Not driving or anything, just wacky enough to scare the children. In other deer-related news, a Wisconsin woman's decorative ceramic lawn deer was attacked by the real thing, leaving it headless. Police reporting to the scene were able to identify the track marks from a real deer who obviously won the fight. I'm Britt Savage for Animal Radio.
Animals are people too. Animal Radio.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing and always need to stick your fingers to test your blood sugar. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. Apply a discreet sensor on your body and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger sticks. If you are living with type 1 or type 2 diabetes and you administer insulin 3 or more times per day or use an insulin pump, you might be eligible for a CGM through your insurance benefits. U.S. Med partners with over 500 private insurance companies and Medicare. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill your insurance. Call us today for a free benefits check.
800-785-1673. 800-785-1673. 800-785-1673. That's 800-785-1673.
Hi, I'm Hal Abrams, co-host of Animal Radio, and today's holiday special originally aired Christmas weekend 2010. Please sit back and enjoy these timeless stories and tales that make the holidays so great.
You're listening to Animal Radio. You can learn more about today's guest at animalradio.com. Log on. Learn more.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. We have Mike Arms from the Helen Woodward Center in San Diego. Mike, I'm wondering if you could share with our listeners the story of how you got into dedicating your life towards the animals, your New York experience.
Well, sometimes I'm happy to share it, sometimes I'm not, because it puts me back there that day, but I will share it today. I'm from Kentucky, and after I went to school for accounting, I went to New York. I went to the employment agency, and they said, well, you're from Kentucky, you must like animals. And I said, well, what, do you see a picture of a horse on a calendar and just assume this? They said, well, how would you like to work for the ASPCA? And I said, I have no idea what that is. They said, it's a place that takes care of unwanted, homeless, abandoned animals. And I said, you know, I don't see the fit. And they said, you know, they need a more business approach. And I said, well, okay, I can do this. But I found out very quickly I couldn't do this. Mm-hmm. I had lost in my first 8 months that I lost 25 pounds. The ASPCA at that time was killing 140,000 animals a year. I couldn't take it. I just thought this was a very, very sick world we lived in, and I needed to get out of this field altogether if I wanted to maintain life.
Yeah.
So insurance company made me an offer, and I went back and gave my notice that I was leaving. And a guy upstairs had much different plans for my life, and he was about to let me know about it. 6 days before I was leaving, I was told it was a door hit by a car on Davidson Avenue in the Bronx. And I said, okay, get a driver out and get it. Mm-hmm. And they said, that's just it. There are no drivers available. So I did just what you would have done. No different.
Oh, yes.
I took off my suit jacket, put on a uniform jacket, took the ambulance out myself. And when I got up there on Davidson Avenue, this little black and tan Shepherd Terrier mix, looked like little Benji type, mm-hmm. was laying in the street, but his back was curved so badly, almost bent him in half. The car that hit him with such force, snapped his back and left him there to die. And as I got out of the ambulance to pick this little guy up, and he was just quivering there, if you could just picture the sad little guy. And just as I was about to reach down for him, these three fellows came out of this apartment building doorway and said, what do you think you're doing? And I said, it's obvious. This little one is dying. I'm taking it to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
They said, no, you're not taking it anywhere. I said, why? Is this your dog? And the reply was, no. We are betting on how long it's going to live.
Oh,
and I said, well, you guys are really sick. I reached down, I scooped this little one up in my arms, and I'm holding him cradled in my arms, and I can feel his heart beating so hard against my chest, and I'm just looking into his eyes, and he had me locked with his brown eyes, and he just started to calm down. Mm-hmm. And when I turned to put him in the ambulance, that's when they beat me, stabbed me, and laid me in the street. That's when my whole life changed. This little one that should not have been able to move by any shape of the imagination found a way to crawl to my side until I opened my eyes and gained consciousness. And when I was looking back in his beautiful eyes one more time and I realized what took place, and as I'm laying there in that pool of blood, I just lay there and cried and prayed, please don't do it. Don't take my life today. Give it back to me. And I promise I will dedicate my life to them.
Wow.
Seconds after I made that promise, my little friend closed his eyes and crossed over Rainbow Bridge. And someday we'll take our walk. But from that day to now, I have kept my promise. And I'll do everything in my lifetime just to stop euthanasia, to increase adoptions, and to help my friends.
Mike Arms from the Helen Woodward Center. And you're what the holidays are all about.
Well, thank you.
Jingle fish under the sea. Can't light the candles on your Christmas tree. No snow for your little fish legs. No earmuffs for little fish heads. Santa Claus to put on his wetsuit, bring Rudolph along, a submarine delivery for you and your friends who live under the sea. I could see you Christmas morning under the sea. Little fish fins flap for joy as you unwrap your little fish toys. Merry Christmas to all, the big and the small, but most of all, to you, Jingle Fish.
Well, that's all we have for this hour.
God, that was a lot of fun. Happy holidays.
If you want more, there's plenty more at animalradio.com. Remember, we're streaming online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, just for you.
This is
Animal Radio.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing and always need to stick your fingers to test your blood sugar. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. Apply a discreet sensor on your body and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger sticks. If you are living with type 1 or type 2 diabetes and you administer insulin 3 or more times per day or use an insulin pump, you might be eligible for a CGM through your insurance benefits. U.S. Med partners with over 500 private insurance companies and Medicare. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill your insurance. Call us today for a free benefits check.
800-785-1673. 800-785-1673. 800-785-1673. That's 800-785-1673.
I'm Hal Abrams, co-host of Animal Radio. And today we bring you a holiday special that originally aired Christmas weekend 2010. I hope you enjoy it.
Celebrating our connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio. Here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
And welcome, 1-866-405-8405. We're live with you on Christmas Day. Yeah, I know all the other shows are recorded.
Yeah, not us. We're here.
We don't get paid enough. We need this overtime, okay? We have a great show for you today. We have a lot of great Christmas-like stories. Plus, we're also going to answer your questions. Dr. Debbie is available right here. She's walking in with a glass of coffee in her hands. I want to stress
wink,
that.
Wink.
Yes.
Yeah.
As well as Vladdy the World famous Russian dog wizard and Joey Villani. Hey, let us know what you got for Christmas. We want to know.
I want to know what their pet got for Christmas.
Yeah. What is, yeah. Any unique pet gifts this Christmas? Give us a call. Everyone is here.
While I was working as a maid for the Kuntzes, you know, Dean Kuntz, he's some kind of best-selling author. Anyway, I walked into Mr. Kuntz's office and found Trixie, his dog, typing away. I swear to God, you don't believe me?
Dad teaches me to type. Hold pencil in mouth and type. At first is fun, then is not fun. He says to me, write Trixie, write essay for website. Being a good dog, I write. Not fun, but I write. Expect treat for writing. Get no treat, stop writing. Get treat, Carbo Biscuit. Good, good, good. So, okay, I write some more. Dad promises website visitor my essay end of July. Must give up important ball chasing, important napping, important sniffing to write. Work hard. Writing hard. So many words. Stupid punctuation rules. Hate semicolons. Hate, hate, hate. Chew up many pencils in frustration. Finish article, give to dad. Then I rip guts out of duck. Duck is not real. Is Buddha duck. Stuffed toy. I am gentle dog. Cannot hurt real duck. Or even cat. But am hell on stuffed toys. Work off tension. Rip, rip, rip. Feel pretty good. Cough up soggy wad of Buddha duck stuffing. Feel even better. Dad gives editorial suggestions. Stupid suggestions. Stupid, stupid. He is not editor. He is writer like me. I pretend to listen. Am actually thinking about bacon. Bacon is good. I am good too. People call me good dog. Good. Very good. Bacon is very good. I am very good. But I am not bacon. Why not? Mysterious. Then I think about cats. What is wrong with them? Who do they think they are? What do they want? Who invented them anyway? Not God for sure. Maybe Satan. Dogs are not born to write essays. Maybe fiction. Maybe poetry. Not essays. Maybe advertising copy. Here is my advertising copy. Bacon is very good. Buy bacon. Buy lots of bacon. Give to me. Thank you. Dad gives me editorial notes for study. 8 pages. I pee on them. He gets message. Dad says he will give my essay to Webmaster as is. Webmaster is nice person. She will know good writing when she sees it. Days pass. Weeks. Chase ball. Chase rabbits. chase butterfly, chase frisbee, begin to notice sameness in leisure time activities. Pull tug toy snake, pull tug toy bone, pull tug toy rope, lick forepaw, lick other forepaw, lick a more private place. Still do not taste like bacon. Get belly rub from mom. Get belly rub from dad. Mom, dad, get belly rub from Linda, mom and dad's assistant. Read Bleak House by Charles Dickens. Study the brilliant characterizations and ponder the tragedy of human condition. New tennis ball, chase, chase, chase. Suddenly, it's September. Webmaster asks, where is Trixie Essay? Where? Dad lost. Dad got busy working on new book. Got busy and forgot Trixie Essay. Lost it. My human ate my homework. Sort of. All my hard work, my struggle, those hateful semicolons, for what? All for nothing. Essay lost. All for nothing. Feel like character in Bleak House. Worse, like character in Joseph Conrad book. Feel like getting an attorney. Get agent instead. Writing fiction. Novel. Maybe knock Dan off bestseller list. Teach him lesson. Writing novel called My Bacon by Trixie Kuntz. Dog already have invitation from Larry King and David Letterman. Be on shows, do publicity, sell book, get belly rub from Dave. Maybe get limo for media tour. Ride around in limo, chasing cats. Life is good when you're a dog.
Seeing all kinds of crazy gifts. I'm hearing about all the crazy gifts. It seems like this year, more than ever, people are spending more money on wild things for their pets for Christmas and Hanukkah.
Isn't that strange?
We want to hear from you. Give us a call right now and let us know what you're giving your pet. Hi, who's this?
Erica?
Hi, Erica. How you doing?
Good.
Where are you calling from?
From Oxnard.
What did you get your pet?
I got my pet a helmet, a jacket, and some goggles.
What? A helmet, a jacket, and some goggles or doggles, did you
doggles.
Say?
Doggles.
Doggles.
What, is it like a motorcycle jacket?
Yes, a black pleather jacket.
Now, pleather. Well, good. She's pleather, not
there
real
you go.
Leather.
That's very,
very good.
Does your dog ride a motorcycle, I assume?
Yes, with my husband.
Okay, with your husband. I want to make sure that, because the last thing you want to do is send your dog on the motorcycle by himself.
Not a good idea.
And
no.
then he's using the cell phone, not really paying attention to the road, and all kinds of things can happen there. Well, congratulations. That's a great gift, a very thoughtful gift. Now, does he like the helmet and all of that stuff?
Yes, he does.
Is it a big dog?
A chihuahua.
A chihuahua? That must... Oh, boy, I wish I could see a picture of that.
Is your husband a big motorcycle guy?
Yes, he is.
Oh, how funny.
Oh, I could barely picture that there, driving the Harley down the road with the chihuahua and the doggles and the leather jacket.
Matching outfits.
Yes, matching outfits.
I love it. Well, Erica, thanks so much for calling. Hold on 1 second. 1-866-405-8405. Tell us what you're getting your pet for Christmas and Hanukkah.
What will I get that footy cat for Christmas? What can I get to really please my friend? I offered money and funny, I even tried a book. No fooling, he was drooling with that footy cat look. Oh, what a time I have with Christmas shopping. Oh, what a time for Tweety birds like me. I offered bright red fancy ties, but he just stares with hungry eyes. Oh, what will I get that footy cat for Christmas?
Happy holidays to all of you. This is Jack Wagner sending you my best for the Yuletide season. Take care.
Happy holidays, my friends. This is John Lithgow, hoping the season brings you closer to the people you love.
Hi, everybody. This is Adam Sandler, and I hope you're enjoying the Hanukkah season.
Happy holidays. I'm Quincy Jones, wishing you all the best in the coming year.
Hi, I'm Ted Danson. Happy holidays to you.
Oh, what can I get that booty back for me?
Don't you wonder what Tweety finally ended up getting him?
Yeah.
That's all I'm wondering.
We don't know, do we?
Welcome to Animal Radio's Christmas show. A little different than what we usually do. We got stories, we got music. We're still taking your calls, whether you have those medical questions, those behavior questions. Dr. Debbie and Vlade, they're all answering those questions off the air. Today, it's sort of a Christmas show. And we do want to know what you got your pet, especially if it was one of those unique gifts.
Yeah,
this year.
Tell us. I want some ideas for my pet for next year.
For next year?
Yeah.
Did you get your pet anything unique this year?
Nothing unique. The usual, the clothes. And toys. And
oh,
she
boy.
Got a lot of stuff.
Another sweater, huh?
She gets cold.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
This portion of Animal Radio is underwritten by Kensington Books. This holiday season, curl up with the 12 Days of Snowball by Kristen McKenna. It's an adorably funny novel featuring a matchmaking cat named Snowball. The 12 Days of Snowball. It's a perfect holiday read for animal lovers or anyone looking for romance. Thanks, Kensington, for underwriting Animal Radio.
This holiday season, we're in for a treat with The 12 Days of Snowball by Kristen McKenna, a heartwarming novel partly told from the perspective of a mischievous feline named Snowball. Snowball considers herself the official matchmaker for any lonely humans in her life, and it's a job she takes very seriously, especially at Christmas. The 12 Days of Snowball by Kristen McKenna is available everywhere books are sold. For more info, visit KristenMcKenna.com. That's KristenMcKenna.com.
You're listening to Animal Radio, and today's show originally aired 11 years ago on Christmas 2010.
And I've just finished opening up Joey Villani's last gift. And he's given me some very, very fine socks that have chihuahuas on them all around them. So they're very, very nice. Certain he'll probably enjoy the Cracker Barrel gift certificate that I got him.
I feel like I'm falling asleep, Hal, with this holiday music.
I'm sorry about that. Did you enjoy your gift?
You know, I have to say it was a little startling.
Yes.
I was not expecting that a huge block of Velveeta cheese. Thank you so very much. And so does the Wisconsin cheesemakers.
You know that? You can use that stuff on anything.
I wasn't expecting that. I thought my gift was going to be just spending this wonderful holiday with you. So this was way more than I expected.
Let's go back to the holiday stories. This is a real tearjerker one. Ooh, not supposed to tell you that.
When I was a puppy, I entertained you with my antics and made you laugh. You called me your child, and despite a number of chewed chews and a couple of murdered throw pillows, I became your best friend. Whenever I was bad, you'd shake your finger at me and ask, "How could you?" But then you'd relent and roll me over for a belly rub. My house training took a little longer than expected because you were terribly busy, but we worked on that together. I remember those nights of nuzzling you in bed, listening to your confidences and secret dreams, and I believed that life could not be any more perfect. We went for long walks and runs in the park, car rides, stops for ice cream. I only got the cone because ice cream is bad for dogs, you said. And I took long naps in the sun, waiting for you to come home at the end of the day. Gradually, you began spending more time at work and on your career, and more time searching for a human mate. I waited for you patiently, comforted you through heartbreaks and disappointments, never chided you about bad decisions, and romped with glee at your homecomings and when you fell in love. She, now your wife, is not a dog person. Still, I welcomed her into our home, tried to show her affection, and obeyed her. I was happy because you were happy. Then the human babies came along, and I shared your excitement. I was fascinated by their pinkness, how they smelled, and I wanted to mother them, too. Only she and you worried that I might hurt them, and I spent most of my time banished to another room or to a dog crate. Oh, how I wanted to love them, but I became a prisoner of love. As they began to grow, I became their friend. They clung to my fur and pulled themselves up on wobbly legs, poked fingers in my eyes, investigated my ears, and gave me kisses on the nose. I loved everything about them and their touch, because your touch was now so infrequent, and I would have defended them with my life if need be. I would sneak into their beds and listen to their worries and secret dreams. Together we waited for the sound of your car in the driveway. There had been a time when others asked you if you had a dog, that you produced a photo of me from your wallet and told them stories about me. These past few years, you just answered yes and changed the subject. I had gone from being your dog to just a dog, and you resented every expenditure on my behalf. Now you have a new career opportunity in another city, and you and they will be moving to an apartment that does not allow pets. You've made the right decision for your family, but there was a time when I was your only family. I was excited about the car ride until we arrived at the animal shelter. It smelled of dogs and cats, of fear, of hopelessness. You filled out the paperwork and said, "I know you'll find a good home for her." They shrugged and gave you a pained look. They understand the realities facing a middle-aged dog or cat, even one with papers. You had to pry your son's fingers loose from my collar as he screamed, "No, Daddy, please don't let them take my dog." And I worried for him and what lessons you had just taught him about friendship and loyalty, about love and responsibility, and about respect for all life. You gave me a goodbye pat on the head, avoided my eyes, and politely refused to take my collar and leash with you. You had a deadline to meet, and now I have one too. After you left, the two nice ladies said you probably knew about your upcoming move months ago and made no attempt to find me another good home. They shook their heads and asked, "How could you?" They are as attentive to us here in the shelter as their busy schedules allow. They feed us, of course, but I lost my appetite days ago. At first, whenever anyone passed my pen, I rushed to the front, hoping it was you, that you had changed your mind, that this was all a bad dream. Or I hoped it would at least be someone who cared, anyone who might save me. When I realized I could not compete with the frolicking for attention of happy puppies, oblivious to their own fate, I retreated to a far corner and waited. I heard her footsteps as she came for me at the end of the day, and I padded along the aisle after her to a separate room, a blissfully quiet room. She placed me on the table, rubbed my ears, and told me not to worry. My heart pounded in anticipation of what was to come, but there was also a sense of relief. The prisoner of love had run out of days. As is my nature, I was more concerned about her. The burden which she bears weighs heavily on her, and I know that, the same way I knew your every mood. She gently placed a tourniquet around my foreleg as a tear ran down her cheek. I licked her hand in the same way I used to comfort you so many years ago. She expertly slid the hypodermic needle into my vein. As I felt the sting and the cool liquid coursing through my body, I lay down sleepily, looked into her kind eyes, and murmured, "How could you?" Perhaps because she understood my dog speak, she said, "I'm so sorry." She hugged me and hurriedly explained it was her job to make sure I went to a better place where I wouldn't be ignored or abused or abandoned or have to fend for myself. A place of love and light, so very different from this earthly place. With my last bit of energy, I tried to convey to her with the thump of my tail that my "how could you" was not meant for her. It was you, my beloved master, I was thinking of. I will think of you and wait for you forever.
You're listening to Animal Radio.
Merry Christmas!
From all of us at Animal Radio Network, we wish you the happiest of New Years filled with health, prosperity, and close connections with our four-legged friends.
Dogs or cats, horse or emu, animals are people too.
The Danish Air Force paid about $5,000 to Santa Claus after his reindeer died of a heart attack when two fighter jets roared over his farm. Olavi Nikanov, not the real Santa Claus, of course, said his reindeer Rudolph, not the real Rudolph, just a helper, died after the screaming F-16 jets flew at low altitude. Nikanov wrote to the Air Force, who compensated him for the loss of the reindeer and some vet expenses. Unlike the real Santa, Nikanov had only two reindeer and now has only one, so he'll use the money to replace Rudolph. I'm Britt Savage for Animal Radio.
Animals are people too. Animal Radio.
All of us here at Fido Friendly Magazine can't wait to get on the road again with our favorite Fido. We know that it's just not a vacation without our furry companions by our side. Start daydreaming now and visit FidoFriendly.com to scout out places near and far so you will be ready for your next adventure once it's safe to travel. That's FidoFriendly.com. Until then, stay safe and leave no dog behind.
You're listening to Animal Radio, and today's show originally aired 11 years ago on Christmas 2010. We all hope you love this holiday special, and best wishes from all of us here at Animal Radio.
This is an Animal Radio News update.
For Animal Radio News, I'm Lori Roberts. Did you buy your pet a gift for Christmas? 56% of women were likely to, more likely than men at 49%, according to an AP poll. However, it was the kitties who were more likely to get the cold treatment, as 56% of dog owners said they'd buy a gift for the hound of the house, but only 48% of kitties were going to get a gift. In Australia, marriage is going to the dogs. Literally. In the city of Toowoomba, Joseph Guizzo married his best friend, his five-year-old lab, Honey, who he adopted 5 years ago. The couple decided on the location of Laurel Bank Park after seeing a wedding there during an afternoon walk. Mr. Guizzo said he looked at Honey and stated, "That could be us." And she didn't say anything, so he took that as a yes. 30 friends and family witnessed the emotional ceremony, which took place at dusk, where Joseph's vows included, "You're my best friend, and you make every part of my day better." Mr. Guizzo says he is a religious person and could no longer take the guilt of living with Honey out of wedlock. Oh, he assures it's not a sexual thing, it's just pure love. The couple was planning a short honeymoon to one of the local parks. For Animal Radio News, I'm Lori Roberts. For breaking animal news, go to animalradio.com.
This has been an Animal Radio News Update. Get more at animalradio.com.
Happy Christmas weekend. Keep that tinsel away from your animals, if you will. It's very dangerous. Dr. Demi's going to have to butt out of here early today to go take tinsel out of a cat.
Emergencies this time of year.
Don't let it pass if you see them do it.
Yeah.
That's they can't go through their system. Let's head to the phones right now. We have Debbie on the phone. Hey, Debbie, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm wonderful. How are you?
Good. I understand you want to talk to animal communicator Joy Turner.
Yes, I certainly would. Thank you.
She's right here.
Hello there, Debbie.
Hi, Joy. How are you?
Marvelous. And what can I do for you today?
Well, I have a 15-year-old, used to be a feral cat. He's not very friendly, and he hates everything, but he's my good boy. And he stays in the house all day and goes out when we get home, and then after dinner he goes out, and then he comes in at bedtime. But Wednesday night, he did not come in, which is not unusual. Sometimes he stays out all night, but then he comes in first thing the next morning. Well, I have not seen him since Wednesday night. I live in a very wooded area, undeveloped area outside of Fort Myers, Florida. I have combed all through the woods with my dog looking for him and all over the neighborhood. And the only thing is we do have wild animals out here.
Okay.
Like coyotes and other predators.
And tell me the name of your kitty.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. His name is Ziggy.
Okay. So give me a minute here. I'm going to see. Okay. Well, the first thing he tells me is that he wanted to go back to being wild, but he hadn't intended to stay out this long.
Okay.
So I want to take a minute and ask him where he is in relationship to his body.
Okay.
He tells me he's still in his body. So that's a good thing.
Yes,
they usually know if they're out of it, so they will tell me if they're out of it. He is, from what he's showing me, he is just roaming around there. And there is some confusion. I don't know if maybe he suffered some kind of a, something like maybe a stroke or something.
Well, he was very upset that evening when the neighbor cats came over and was just acting like he wanted to live here, and he was very upset. He was upset about that.
Okay, so I would do a couple of things if I were you, because he is still somewhere not too far from where you are.
Okay.
Although he won't tell me exactly where. I can tell him, do I assume that your neighbor cat, you would not allow to live there, and you want him there?
No. No, the neighbor cat went home, and we have not seen him since.
I want to tell Ziggy that everyone shooed that neighbor cat back to where that cat had lived before, and the space is open for him. And you really would appreciate it if he would come back home again, because this is his home, and the neighbor cat has his own home.
That's correct, because he runs this house. Ziggy runs my house.
And Ziggy just gave me a big sigh. So I would keep telling him that type of thing, and you would do that by thinking about him. And when you talk to him, really feel like you're connected to him and send him a lot of love, as much love as you can. And make as many pictures in your mind about this being his home.
Okay, very
and
good.
Just keep doing that.
Very good.
Ziggy, we want you home for Christmas.
Welcome to Voice of the Animal. I am moving to a really wonderful place in my native state of California to do something I love. I have spent this week saying goodbye to beloved friends and places with promises to stay in touch, easy to do with email and phones and letters. Even though I have a lovely and grace-filled journey in front of me, the farewells are tinged with sadness and grief. Isn't it always that way when we leave for something new? Gratitude for time spent with remarkable people and melancholy at leaving them. Because I can stay in touch with my human friends, the more difficult farewells surround my animal friends, specifically the ones I have been privileged to share the last 9 years with in this beautiful forested ranch in the land of enchantment. 9 years in which I have come to cherish the daily and seasonal routines and habits of my wildlife companions. I know when the hummingbirds will return each spring, the week of April 12th. I always have their feeder ready for them a few days early. What will they think next year when I am not there to welcome them back with their sugared water? Will the next person to live here care for them? I know the western tanager, his brilliant scarlet head and beautiful black-striped yellow feathers. He arrives every year in May and loves to bathe in the bird bath. Will he have bath water waiting for him next May? The bats have their own bat houses. They have a safe place to live, unless the people who end up here are afraid of bats. They need to know that bats eat mosquitoes and are our friends. Will they care? I know when the bluebirds will nest in their box among the aspens. The babies will hatch in June, and their cheeping will permeate the air with happiness. Memorial Day is the weekend the bears appear. This year, the biggest brown bear I have ever seen arrived right on time to eat from the bird feeder. By chance, I had happened to throw out some old strawberry cake. The nice thing about living in the country is that old fruit, vegetables, and yes, cake can be shared with the animals.
That gorgeous pair sat down and just ate every bit of that strawberry cake. Of course I got a picture. There are the deer and elk, bunny, porcupine, skunk, raccoon, possum, rats, mice, gopher, squirrel, fox, coyote. Today I even saw a black-footed ferret. There are the red-tailed hawks, the rough-legged hawk, the owls, the bald eagle, and the cranes that migrate not to the east or west, but directly over my house every spring and again in fall. Their cries an occasion to look heavenward in awe and admiration. And my bobcat, his name is Shashandra. At special and always unexpected times, one can never know when a bobcat will allow himself to be seen. He has graced me with a glimpse of his presence. It is fleeting and rare. But during those glorious, precious moments, I am blessed. And my wild turkey friends, they love to nap in the shade of the pines and roost at the top of them at bedtime. Miss Clara is my elderly turkey pal. Whenever I walk outside, she comes running to see me. Recently, she has taken to trotting up on the back porch and peering into the living room. Miss Clara's head is all gray and her feathers a bit bedraggled. She is the matriarch of all the turkeys here, and every single one of them will step aside and allow her first dibs on the cracked corn I put out for their breakfast and supper. I will miss her so much. Of course, these animals survived long before I came into their home and will continue to do so. It is a bit of hubris on my part to think otherwise, but I am invested in their well-being. Not just in the bags of sugar for the hummingbirds or cracked corn for the turkeys or Rocky Mountain fancy seed mix for the rose-breasted grosbeaks, doves, sparrows, and nuthatches. My days are structured around their presence, their comings and goings, their appearance at the feeders or ponds or back door. They are my friends. When people think of New Mexico, they think of light and glorious colored landscapes, great art, Pueblo corn dances, turquoise skies, spectacular vistas, shopping in Santa Fe, and delicious food. All of that is true, and I will miss all of these. But more than anything, I will miss enchanted friendships with a bobcat, bear, bluebird, and an elderly turkey. And somehow, I hope that I have been the kind of friend they will miss too. Visit us on the World Wide Web at voiceoftheanimal.com. For Voice of the Animal, this is Rayanne Cumulos.
You're listening to Animal Radio. You can learn more about today's guest at animalradio.com. Log on. Learn more.
Hi, I'm Hal Abrams, co-host of Animal Radio. And today's holiday special originally aired Christmas weekend, 2010. Please enjoy these timeless stories and tales that make the holidays so great. Best wishes from all of us here at Animal Radio.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-485-4409. 800-485-4409. 800-485-4409. That's 800-485-4409.
Hi, I'm Hal Abrams, co-host of Animal Radio, and today's holiday special originally aired Christmas weekend, 2010. Best wishes from all of us here at Animal Radio.
Here, Joey, hand me some of those chestnuts.
Here you go. They're not hot anymore, though.
What'd you get this morning? Anything good?
Coal.
Coal in your stocking?
I wasn't a good boy this year. But my dogs and my wife got everything they wanted.
My it's a tradition every year in my house that we actually have all the gifts wrapped in for our pets, and the pets know, and they actually rip open their gifts. Even the bird rips open their gifts.
Do they wait though?
They get excited.
They don't wait.
It's funny because they know something's going on. They're up early. They're barking. They get us up. They run down. They run to the Christmas tree. Usually they run to the refrigerator. They wait for their gifts.
Well behaved animals.
But can you put the wrapped presents under the tree ahead of time, or will they get into them?
No, I can't. They'll try to get into it. We won't let them.
We're not supposed
to do that.
They'll
definitely keep trying.
This is Animal Radio's Christmas show. A little different than we usually do. We're all sitting around roasting our chestnuts and listening to stories and music for the holiday today. Now, if you missed any part of the show or you want to hear any one of these stories back, head on over to the website at animalradio.com. After every show, we post a podcast, and you can download that podcast. Or let's say you live in one of the cities where there's only 1 hour of Animal Radio. You can listen to the entire show. Yeah, it's actually a two-hour show. Head on over to animalradio.com, get the entire show over there.
It doesn't seem like that long ago, but it's been 19 years since a little ball of joy and fluff came into my life and changed it forever. I was working for a property management firm in San Francisco and was asked to relocate to Texas to oversee an apartment complex there. Soon after my wife Linda and I arrived, the building maintenance man discovered a little mutt in a recently vacated apartment. The dog was in a closed closet with no food or water. The maintenance man and his wife were unable to keep her, so Linda asked me if we could do so, just for a little while. I reluctantly agreed but added, just for a few days. I nicknamed the dog Shorty, and Shorty took to me like you wouldn't believe. She followed me everywhere. She was closer than a shadow, and when she lay beside me on the couch or in bed, you couldn't get a dime between us. Both Lynn and I quickly knew that a little while was going to become a lifetime. When our time in Texas came to an end, we returned to San Francisco, where Shorty adjusted to being a city dog. We'd take her to the park and for walks around town, but it wasn't the same as when she and I went running out in the fields together, just enjoying the day and one another. That was truly our favorite time. In San Francisco, Shorty learned how to play baseball. She absolutely loved it. Linda pitched, I hit, and Shorty fielded the ball. She would catch it in the air, or at most on one hop, trot up to Linda, give her the ball, and then run back to the outfield and bark as if to let us know she was ready for more. As time went on, Linda wished she had a dog that was as devoted to her as Shorty was to me. So one day we went to the SPCA. Sitting in the back of a cage was a terrier mix, a little bigger than Shorty, but with the same coloring. He had the biggest brown eyes and was just begging to be taken home. And he was. Shorty and Buddy took to each other from the beginning, and people used to think they were brother and sister. Some years later, we rented a little house with a fence and a room for Shorty and Buddy to play in. By then, in her old age, Shorty started losing her teeth, and her tongue used to hang out of the side of her mouth. She also lost her sight and hearing. But Buddy became her eyes and ears. He knew that when Shorty went to the front door and barked once, the way she had always done, she wanted to go outside. But now she needed assistance, and Buddy knew exactly what to do. He would take her ear in his mouth and gently guide her down the steps to the lawn, where he would lie down and watch her roaming around smelling everything she could. When she was ready to come into the house, Shorty would stand motionless, bark once, and again Buddy would go to her, take her ear, and guide her up the stairs to her bed. One evening the door was open, and Shorty somehow made it down the stairs unattended, but she collapsed at the bottom. I carried her to her bed, and she lay there for a day whimpering, just as she had 17 years earlier in that dark closet. I told Linda that it looked like it was about time. Linda knew what I meant and nodded. We took Shorty to the vet that night, and as expected, there wasn't anything she could do. She helped us feel better by asking us to think of all the positive things that Shorty had brought into our lives. I will always feel grateful for that. I decided to remain with Shorty. The vet left us alone in a room, and I stood just stroking her. I think we both gathered some comfort in being with each other. When it was over, I cradled her, not ever wanting to let her go. Today her ashes and her pictures sit atop our dresser. When the time comes, I've requested that I too be cremated, and Linda has promised me that she will scatter my ashes, together with those of Shorty, in the biggest field she can find. Then, Shorty and I will go running together once again.
It's that time of the year, it's here again. And I'm sharing it with my best friend. I got my slippers on. Got your favorite bone. It's cold outside, but it's warm in here. It's my favorite time of the year. Have a swinging Christmas, baby.
Next up, not so much a story, but a guest that we were lucky enough to have. A comedian who's long passed, but who loved animals dearly and epitomizes what Christmas is all about. And we'll end with Mr. Buddy Hackett.
You know, it takes a bit of work to make things happen. And to get people to give you some money to save what they think is an insignificant life of an animal, you know. And we don't even know, people say they're not sure animals go to heaven, but I had a dog named Cupie, and he was with me 18 years, and people said, you ever think about dying? I said, no, I just think about seeing my dog again. He's waiting over the Rainbow Bridge, and they can't talk, and their eyes have a little film until the owner comes. Then the film goes away, and they can't really talk words, but they can communicate with you. I don't like when they say, where you been? Hey.
This is Animal Radio Network.